Some of you may already have heard this story. It happened several years ago, before Amy and I even went to seminary. One of the boys and his family were living with us at the time. He had a couple of small children. Grayson, our oldest grandson, was maybe 4 or 5 at the time. Amy had gone to the grocery store, I think it was early evening, Walmart probably, which was not like her really, because she liked to go early in the morning to avoid the crowds. One of her trips back and forth to the garage bringing in the groceries, Grayson followed her and snuck into the garage to explore. Grandma, not seeing him on the last trip gathering or bringing groceries inside, flipped off the light and shut the door. As the kids gathered around the table to see what Grandma had brought home from the store, Grandma very soon noticed that somebody was missing, and she soon realized what had happened. Rushing out to the garage and jerking open the door, there Grayson stood, trembling in the pitch black, a little puddle below him on the concrete. "Dark, Grandma, dark," were the only words that he could get out. The fear of the dark is a universal thing. Most children experience this, and it's typically viewed as a normal part of development. But when it's excessive or irrational and is carried on into adulthood, it's labeled as a phobia and can impact an individual's day-to-day life. There's a term for it, nyctophobia, and according to the online version of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, several famous people have been inflicted with it. People that you would never guess would be afraid of the dark. People such as Augustus Caesar, Keanu Reeves, and even Muhammad Ali. I personally think it's okay to be a little afraid of the dark. Or to put it in a better way, to have a healthy respect or an awareness of the hours of darkness. Why? Well, for a couple reasons. First, simply just because you can't see as well. Your vision or awareness of what's going on around you is hampered or limited by the lack of sight. Just think about driving and how much better you can see in the daytime versus at night. So at night you drive differently, or at least I hope you do, to make allowances for reduced vision. And secondly, that's when people with evil intent tend to be out. You just need to watch the news to confirm that. But the darkness mentioned in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah for today and referenced in the Gospel reading from Matthew is not about physical darkness, but about spiritual darkness, darkness on the inside. It's about doom and gloom and sin and death. It's about being enemies with God. In the Bible, God's presence or glory is often associated with light, as is holiness, purity, and goodness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 reads that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. On the other hand, darkness in the Bible is normally associated with sin and evil, death, divine wrath, and judgment. In fact, the kingdom of Satan is normally thought of as the domain of darkness. Separation from God then results in spiritual darkness, much like the state of the people described in our text for today. To better understand this, we need a little historical context. After the Israelites spent the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, it was time for them to enter the promised land. So God gives them specific instructions. In Exodus chapter 23, starting at verse 31, it reads this: "And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates, for I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Well, the Israelite people didn't listen to God, and it didn't take long for the people of the northern kingdom to be involved in the idol worship of the Canaanites around them. They prostituted themselves to the false gods. They may have even sacrificed children to some of the idols, and they forgot the Lord. True to form, the Israelite people disobeyed God's instructions and were soon worshiping false gods and intermarrying with the pagan people. They plunged headfirst into a horrible spiritual darkness. And this angered the Lord, and he withdrew his hand from them. And they were soon at the mercy of the nations around them, including the Assyrians, who swept down, passing through the lands of the Zebulun and Naphtali along the Sea of Galilee, and they slaughtered or deported the majority of the population around there. The 10 tribes that had settled there virtually disappeared, were no more, were assimilated into other cultures. Theirs is a story of doom and gloom, sin, death, a story about being enemies with God. Despite their idol worship and the way the people deserted the Lord, God was true to his promise. In the land of darkness, God would send his light into the world. To the people walking around in a great spiritual darkness, a light will dawn. Fast forward about 720 years, and a small light in the sky tells of arrival of a much larger and brighter light, a babe in a manger. That light was none other than Jesus Christ. And shine he did. Do you remember where Jesus carried out a significant portion of his earthly ministry? It was in this same land, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, around the Sea of Galilee. He performed his first miracle at a wedding in Cana in Galilee. His ministry home base was at Capernaum in Galilee. He preached and taught and performed miracles in the regions all around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus brought the light of the gospel to the people living in darkness. Jesus was the light shining out of the darkness. He was the promised Messiah that would save the people from their sins. But like I said earlier, you just need to watch the evening news to see that the darkness did not stay away, even after the light had come. And Christians are not immune from the dark temptations of darkness. You know, talking about light made me think of something I do regularly for the builder that I work for. If you ever want to see if you have any defects in your drywall, shine a halogen light across your wall. Even a flashlight as small as a AA battery mag light. You will be amazed at what you can see. Light not only dispels darkness, but it also exposes flaws and defects. Just when we think that we're not walking in darkness, that we're not that bad, the light of God's word exposes our defects, our flaws, our sins. Nothing remains hidden in God's light. We are sinners. That's true. But the light that came into the world also died for us. He took our place on the cross and suffered God's wrath for us. So with repentant hearts, we ask for his forgiveness. And as I was writing this sermon, the plaque on my desk was screaming at me, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Psalm 27:1. Because he is our salvation, there is no need to be afraid of the light. There is an ongoing need for the enlightening Lord to shine among his own people. Because even though we are saved through the waters of our baptism, the darkness is still out there, at the edges of the light, ever present, waiting for a chance to sneak in. In the second service this morning, Cassie Mendocino will be baptized in front of the communion rail, close to the congregation. What a great reminder of our own baptism. Now, I know for most of us, we were baptized as infants and we can't remember it. I don't mean a reminder in that way, but a reminder in that we once were in spiritual darkness. We too had a story of doom and gloom, sin and death, a story about being enemies with God. But God kept his promise and sent his light. And this dawning of light happens in real places to real people who are in a real spiritual darkness. Through baptism, we were and are united with Christ in the water and in the Word. United in his death and his resurrection unto eternal life. Sins forgiven, life assured. There is no doom and gloom here, just forgiveness of sin, sonship, life everlasting, light and joy. So as you come up for communion today, as you walk by the font, take a moment to dip your finger in the water. Make the sign of a cross in remembrance of your own baptism. Not a rebaptism, just a remembrance of the wondrous thing that God has done for you. Chase that darkness even farther away. Let the light of God shine even brighter in you. And go from there to the Lord's table to receive the bread and the wine that is his body and blood. As another promise of God is fulfilled here today in our midst. Then go out into the world and be God's light, chasing away the darkness to the glory of his holy name. Hear again the words from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Baptism is a great reminder that we used to be one of those people who walked in darkness, who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. It is through this sacrament that God shines his light into our lives and rescues us from that story of doom and gloom, sin, death, a story about being enemies with God. Instead, our biography is about joy, peace, forgiveness, life, a story about being a child of the Heavenly Father. God writes a new story for you through your baptism. And what a beautiful story each one of you have.